Hello again, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host, Travis, and before we get into this week's episode, just wanted to remind everybody that you can always reach us through Facebook at facebook.com/popculturerewind, and also follow us on Twitter at popculturerwnd, and if you need to shoot us an email about anything, feel free to do that through popculturerewind@gmail.com. If you need to find any other past episodes, you can always find us on the website at popculturerewind.podbean.com. And with that, let's get on to the show. You got the touch. You got the power. Special edition of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm joined once again by my good friend Xavier.
Hello,
welcome back.
Excited to be here for this one.
Yeah. Is gonna be different.
This is a little something a little different for the Rewind.
Yeah,
this is an idea we just had.
Mm-hmm.
We're not taking credit. Like, we're the first ones to ever have this idea. Such a good idea. I'm sure it existed. We're gonna record a commentary.
We're gonna attempt.
No, we're gonna do it.
Yeah.
Have some faith in yourself, man. We're going to record a commentary.
Yeah.
Now, it was a bit of a compromise. I wanted to do a whole full-length show talking about
Transformers
the movie.
The animated film.
Yeah. The 80s. Not that Michael Bay shit.
Yeah.
Yes, the anime movie. Travis, you wanted to do a commentary, so we sort of compromised, because that's what relationships are all about. You can edit that line out.
And before Chris gets too pissed off, we were talking about doing this a while back too, but we just never got around to
doing
it.
Oh, were you? Okay, yeah. So, we were just talking about this now, yeah. And like I said, this is such a good idea. I'm sure there's tons of other commentaries other people have done before. I haven't listened to any of them.
No, I haven't.
I don't know. All I know is the commentaries I've listened to on my own actual DVDs, yeah. By, you know, the filmmakers.
I did hear Kevin Smith do this once for the 1989 Batman movie, Michael Keaton.
I heard Kevin Smith do it for Roadhouse. That's a gem worth a commentary.
Are you being sarcastic or are you serious?
No, I love Roadhouse.
Okay, all right.
I think it's an American classic. I think the Swayze dog is a national treasure. You know, I miss him. No, I love me some Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Yeah. See, now you can't even say the words Roadhouse without going Roadhouse anymore. This is the world we live in now. Yeah. This is a post-Roadhouse world. But right. Before we start, do you listen to commentaries on your DVDs?
Not as much as I used to. I used to do it all the time. But sometimes I found that it gets kind of monotonous sometimes. And it can be boring sometimes.
Some filmmakers, you know, he's pretty interesting. Like Quentin,
yeah.
Tarantino, you know that guy never shuts the fuck up.
Talk, yeah,
he'll talk all the way through.
Yeah.
Robert Rodriguez, I think, gives some pretty insightful commentaries. You know who does great commentaries?
Who's that?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh yeah,
that guy is so boring. He talks about everything in detail.
You told me one about Terminator 3.
Yes, he's talking about remember the scene in particular is the beginning of the movie when the Terminatrix or whatever is driving.
Yeah.
She gets pulled over. She looks at the Victoria's Secret sign and it has the picture of the model with the big boobs. Mm-hmm. And she looks down at herself, inflates her own boobs.
Right.
And while Arnold is like, I love this scene because of the breasts and the men, they love the big breasts. So she thinks, I'm going to make my breasts bigger because men love the breasts. And he's just like redundant.
But it's Arnold talking.
But it's hilarious to listen to. Yeah. Arnold does some really funny commentary.
Well, hopefully we can live up to...
That's the hot... Yeah, he set the bar.
Yeah.
So we got to... He set the standard. So did you want to just cue the movie up really quick?
We'll go and cue it up. We actually have it paused right now. And we're at the 10-second mark. This is basically right after the Sunbow logo came up. And,
yeah. If you want to follow along.
I think it'd be kind of more engaging.
Well, I hope you would want to follow along, yeah.
Otherwise, we're just babbling about something you don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Or maybe you're one of those people who knows this movie so well, you'll know exactly what we're talking about as we watch it.
Yeah.
I would probably be in that camp
as
well.
Yeah. We're basically just playing this in the background just for our own reference points.
Yeah, you should put the subtitles on.
Think so?
Well, in case, you know.
I don't need this.
Okay, fine. I don't know. I have all the dialogue up here anyways, so.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and hit play now. So it is playing out now, and it's basically the intro scene for this.
Just cut to Unicron.
Yeah, circling.
Coming around the sun or the star. That's a star, right?
Yeah, like about to go like nova or some shit. It's like glowing and everything. And we don't know what's going on right now. He's just floating around in space.
He's just a dude. Well, do you want to...
All right, so...
It's about a minute or so before the action really picks up and we get the title credits. It's just an establishing shot of...
Of what Unicron is about to do.
Yeah. What was the name of this planet? Liptis or something? I'm the last survivor of Liptis.
Lipton
iced tea planet. Yeah, there they go. This guy's pouring himself some iced tea.
Yeah.
It's blue. Energon tea. There you go.
Lithone.
Is that what he says?
I'm the last surviving... Lithone. Yeah, Lithone.
Right? Was it? I've never watched... Does this even have subtitles on it? I don't even know. I mean, I've watched this DVD a lot, but I've never... You know, you don't put subtitles on a Transformers movie.
It's unheard of.
Yeah. So, yeah, all Unicron. Right. Oh, he was a cool guy. Was this Orson Welles' last performance?
Yes.
It was his last performance,
It was originally rumored that he actually passed away during it, and Leonard Nimoy actually had to fill in a few of his lines for him. But Susan Blue...
They should have just got... was it Maurice LaMarche?
Yeah, right.
They should have just gotten him. Just do the brain.
Yeah. But Susan Blue is the voice director and also plays RC in this movie. She confirmed later on that Orson Welles did in fact complete all of his lines.
That's weird that a guy that talented of a filmmaker, actor, all that kind of stuff, that his swan song, I love this movie,
right,
was a voice work in a Transformer movie. Yeah. That was his last thing. It's kind of weird when you think about it. Or really awesome,
and
if you think about it.
It was just weird because I talked about this a few episodes ago when we were talking about Transformers, and I said, as a kid growing up, I watched this movie before I seen anything else Orson Welles done, so I knew Orson Welles from Transformers.
Yeah, this was kind of the first thing, because it said, like, Orson Welles as Unicron. I'm like, I guess that guy's a big deal. You know, I was a kid.
Or, by the way, Unicron just devoured the planet.
Just devoured the planet. Cut to... Right now... We have it on mute, but it's the lion version of the
track,
which is pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah,
I have that on my playlist
a little rock,
when I go working out.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Most of this soundtrack is on my playlist.
I have the soundtrack downloaded just about everywhere that I can have it downloaded.
Yeah, and yeah, fuck, so many of these songs are motivational when you're in the gym or when you're running or riding your bike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost this entire soundtrack is good for that, with the exception of The Death of Optimus Prime.
Right.
That's good if you want to, you know, go slice your wrist, because that's some sad shit.
All right, so we have some cast members here. Eric Idle.
Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
The opening credit crawl is kind of a reminiscent of Superman.
Judd Nelson, again, I saw this before I saw Breakfast Club. So when I saw Breakfast Club, I was like, holy shit, that's Hot Rod.
Yeah, like most of the voices when I was like 10 or whatever,
yeah.
I think I knew, who did we just see? The name just went by and I missed it.
Leonard Nimoy.
Okay, I knew Leonard Nimoy, obviously,
yeah.
A Spock.
Right.
And I think I knew the Unsolved Mystery guy.
No, I think I knew him before. I think I knew Robert Stack as this before Unsolved Mystery.
Probably. You're right. I probably didn't piece it together.
But then John Machida.
I knew him for the Micro Machine
John Machida,
guy.
Yeah.
He's the Micro Machine. If it doesn't say Micro Machine, it's not the real thing.
Can you say that faster?
No. Yeah. Can you speed this up in post?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I said, there you go. Wait, I'm going to say it again. If it doesn't say Micro Machines, it's not the real thing. Holy fuck, wasn't that fast?
That was pretty good.
You're
yeah.
gonna speed that up, right?
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Cut to Cybertron.
Oh, real quick, Vince
DiCola.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got this gig because he did the whole soundtrack score for Rocky IV.
Yes.
Which has a very similar vibe, very 80s
synthesizer
vibe. And that, you know what? Most of that soundtrack is also on my workout playlist.
You know, quite a few years ago, there was a convention called BotCon. They released a whole the score of this on a 2-disc special edition of just Vince DiCola's work.
Isn't that what I have?
Yes, because I gave it to you.
Wait, that's what that was?
Yeah.
The whole
score?
Yeah, because back in the 90s, you gave me a couple audio tapes just full of Transformers, which I still have.
Yeah.
I think
On tape, or did you convert over to CD yet?
They're still on tape. I don't own any audio cassette players, so I haven't listened to them in years. But okay, let me just mention something. We're already now, Optimus is talking, he's doing his thing.
Yeah, we're bypassing.
We missed the opening narration. It is the year 2005. The distant future. Because this is supposed to take place, 20 years
after
the Autobots as we know it. Spike's grown up. He's got
a
kid. Things like that.
The treacherous Decepticons
conquer
the Autobots' home planet.
So this is one of those weird things, like, you know, like a
it took you
Predator 2 or Demolition Man, where it takes place, or Escape from New York, mm-hmm. where it takes place in the future, which is our past.
Right, yeah.
You know, when you're watching like this, they've got spacesuits, they've got hoverboards. They said it was going to come out in 2005. At least Back to the Future gave us 2015. They threw it on the gauntlet. No, 2005, there's going to be hoverboards.
Well, in their defense, I mean, this is alien technology over here.
Oh, no shit. I never even thought that probably the hoverboard wasn't like an... Dang, I'm stupid. I always just assume like, wow, we're going to have hoverboards. It never even occurred to me that that was like Cybertronian technology. All right. So all we
now
need is a little...
So you just learned something.
All we need is a little energon and a lot of luck.
Yes.
Cut to Laserbeak, the spy. Still doing his thing 20 years later.
Right.
Laserbeak serves his one purpose, but he does it
you
well.
You think by now they would have some kind of like anti-surveillance.
Right. You know, fuck. Like, Laserbeak's been monitoring us for 20 years, Autobots. Can we do something about that Laserbeak?
No, we have no countermeasures.
No, no countermeasures.
Blasters on Earth.
So, cut to... Okay, let's talk about this for a second. Soundwave just transformed and he shrunk size.
Right.
Did that ever bother you as a kid?
As a kid, no.
The physics of Megatron shrinking to a gun, of Blaster or Soundwave shrinking into a boombox or cassette player.
Nope.
What's his fuck? Microscope guy. Perceptor. Shrinking to a microscope. That never bothered you?
As a kid,
that
no.
That they physically shrunk?
No.
It bothered me as a kid.
As a kid, really, it did.
There was an episode in the cartoon where Spike is, a very early episode, Spike's walking along and
mm-hmm.
Soundwave is watching him. He shrinks.
Mm-hmm.
And they really make a point of showing he shrunk.
Right.
And Spike picks up the cassette player, puts it in his bag, goes in the Autobot headquarters,
mm-hmm.
Soundwave transforms, steals a bunch of information, something, and that bugged... Okay. Now, okay, yeah, okay, the Decepticons, dude, this scene, I can't even watch it right now.
Okay, well, I'll explain. Megatron's transforming.
I can't watch
gun.
It. What's happening?
Starscream.
I have my hands
like
over my eyes.
Blowing away all the Autobots. It took them 20 years, but they finally got target practice, and they're actually killing everybody.
Finally. Too much target practice, because look at Prowl.
Oh.
That, his eyes going dead. That's right there with my soul.
And
going dead.
Ratchet with the guns, the duel.
Yes, his win is Ratchet freaking double-fisting guns. And,
it doesn't
and
matter,
because
he can't shoot shit.
He can't shoot for shit. Yeah, he can't shoot for shit.
I was kind of surprised how easy Ironhide went, though.
Yeah.
And Braun. Braun and
he's
Ironhide.
A war hero. These
yeah.
are the two of their toughest guys, and they went
yeah,
down
like
pretty
that.
Easy.
Yeah.
And right away, this opening scene, it shows that it throws down the gauntlet, like, this is the, you know, people are going to die.
As they're flying over all the dead bodies.
Yeah, shit's going to go down.
In
the cartoon, they either, A, missed everything,
mm-hmm.
or they shot you, and it was just like a punch, and you fell
right.
down. But here, one freaking laser will kill you.
Even in later iteration, oh, this right here, Ironhide,
no!
the last warrior, is like trying to,
yeah.
his dying
like,
breath.
He could have just laid there and played possum.
Right.
Waited for his moment, but no, he's gonna...
Actually, that probably would have been a better strategy.
It would have been a better
maybe
strategy.
Maybe do
he's
a transmitter on his arm or something.
He's not a thinker like that. He's
yeah.
just a brawler. He's a fighter.
His instinct kicked in.
Cut to Hot Rod and Daniel fishing.
Yeah, exciting stuff here. It's a good thing that the Decepticons decided that, because obviously the Autobots weren't doing shit.
Right? It's his day off. Well, Hot Rod's a slacker. He shirks.
Yeah.
He's probably supposed to be on guard, dude. He's like the
right.
Lieutenant Falcon
right, yeah.
of the Transformers, in the sense that this movie was made to make a new toy
right.
of this slacker character. Because kids...
Who's going to grow up to be the hero.
Yeah. Because that's what kids are. We don't want to have responsibilities. We want to goof off and things
this
like that.
Generation.
That's probably why they wrote Rod... Not Rodimus, Hot Rod and Falcon as these slacker
same
characters. Because kids would identify with them.
Yeah. Oh, and here's
the
hoverboard.
Cut to
the hoverboard.
Looks like a pit bull to me. Doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
It's all pointed.
Actually, painted black, yeah. It's
mm-hmm.
that's a pit bull. Yeah.
That's a pit bull. I got a pit bull now. and we can't hear it, man, but Vince DiCola,
dead
of a lit. Oh, God, this song, man. This
animation right here where he transforms, bam, I love
that.
That
was pretty
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the animation got... The transformation animation here
yeah,
was pretty good.
Just in general, this movie stepped it up.
The transformation animation. I just wanted to say that
yeah.
twice. That just sounded fun.
Say it again.
Transformation animation.
Oh, very good.
Thank you. Yeah, that was good. And then okay, did they ever explain where all these new guys came from? Like, where were they during the 80s? Was Cup and Hot Rod and RC and Springer and all these dudes, were they just chilling somewhere else?
Yeah, pretty much.
But is there any canon that says where they were?
I believe in the comics.
Okay.
They're just in.
You
just
know
on Cybertron.
You know better than me.
They're on Cybertron. They're the planets. You know, doing different things. And
Okay. I mean, because in 20 years, yeah, they could have recruited new people or whatever, but, like, right. Cup particularly, they imply that he's been in this war for a long time.
I like
time.
The fact that it is 20 years later, because it does give you the sense of, okay, it makes more plausible, like, who's Hot Rod? You know, of course, over 20 years, new characters are going to be coming in. And, of course, Hot Rod figuring out.
I always thought Hot Rod, like, I was, like, a kid thinking, if I could be a Transformer or an Autobot, I'd be Hot Rod, because he had weapons on his
built
arms,
in, yeah,
like Starscream did, or Megatron.
That shot Megatron like right to the front of the camera.
That
yeah.
noise. Oh, I always loved the way Megatron's cannon sounded as a kid. I thought it sounded like epic. That pew. You can edit that over with a better version.
Hell
Blitzwing.
No.
I thought Blitzwing was the shit too, because he was a triple changer.
Right.
He was Although you know what, that's not enough to be cool. Because Springer, I thought was lame. I always found Springer to be pretty lame. He had that really fucking limp laser that came out of his arm.
Yeah, a little small one.
That was like the Derringer version equivalent of an Autobot laser.
Like, Hot Rod's got like three freaking...
Yeah. Yeah, Hot Rod was doing some damage with those handguns. He almost took down that whole shuttle.
Right. Granted, there was a big hole and he was shooting inside the hole, but yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was doing the Hot Rod thing. And I love that Cup has bags under his eyes because robots age.
Right, yeah, no sure.
Yeah. But yeah, the animation was, compared to the cartoon, the
way that transformation shot of
Starscream swooping right past the camera.
Yeah.
You know,
it was really fast, quick shots.
Yeah, the anime, as a kid, I was like, wow, this is, it's like Transformers, but it's not. Yeah.
All right, this music kicking in, we're in Perceptor.
Dun,
yeah.
Dun, do, 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 do. Yeah, I'm not, it's mute, but I can hear it in my head. And although it is fucking lame that Perceptor has to turn into a microscope.
Hot Rod had the glowing
yeah,
things under his
Hot Rod has the visor and his vision. RC has the visor. But in order to see really far, Perceptor has to fucking turn into a microscope.
He's the old version. He's the old model.
Which is the most useless Transformer ever. If everybody has visors,
yeah.
Why the fuck do you need a guy who turns into a microscope? Did his microscope that he's got on his shoulder like that looks so much like a shoulder cannon... Did he ever shoot shit out of that?
I don't think so. I know the toy was meant to be like that, but the cartoon... Because
that just looked... Like, Soundwave always had that little shoulder thing.
Right.
But I don't ever remember him using it.
He didn't.
Yeah, it just looks like it should have been. Okay, was I the only one as a kid who thought RC was pretty hot?
As far as female robots go?
As far as female robots go, yeah,
no.
Obviously.
Yeah, no. It's, yeah. It is what it is, yeah. It's,
yeah.
You're kind of rooting for her and Hot Rod, right? Yeah. No?
Well, they kind of established her and Springer were like a thing, weren't they?
No.
I always got that vibe that that Springer was kind of hitting that off the side.
Well, Springer was hitting it. I mean, he was wanting it, but I mean, because later on, whenever
Springer strikes me as like a dude who's like kissing ass because he wants to move up into the ranks.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to be known as fraternizing, so he keeps it quiet.
Yeah.
So they're kind of doing it off base, kind of a thing. I always got that vibe from our
scene. Hey, this scene right here where Starscream's stuck in the gate right here. And
he shoots
his
foot.
If you pause it right there.
If you pause it right there, you can see the break in his foot.
Yeah. I think you showed me that a long time ago.
Yeah. And that one right there is probably, with the exception of the Megatron Optimus fight, it's like the only time in this whole battle that anybody actually gets shot. Which is kind of lame, because during the shuttle takeover, it was like mayhem. People were getting shot. People were getting killed.
This is implied violence.
In this whole battle, it went kind of back to the 80s version of
implied violence.
Yeah. Where freaking guys are taking rockets to the back and it's not even affecting them, you know?
Yeah.
The Insecticons. I don't know much about these dudes. I remember them. I don't remember what made them so cool.
They
eat metal? That was like their thing?
Yeah, pretty much.
That was like their thing? They ate metal?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I guess they're doing their thing then. Hey, check out the Insecticons doing their thing.
And they can clone themselves. So there's like, you can have like a whole
army. That's right. That's right. Yeah, I forgot all about that.
That's where it comes that fan theory that some of the new guard, like the sweeps, and there were like clones of the Insecticons.
No, you mean the theory that Skywarp is the actual Cyclonus.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah, okay, we'll get into that later. Yeah, Skywarp was one of my first Transformers ever bought, so that makes him my boy. Blaster! Oh, shit. You motherfucker. Was Blaster a new character invented in this movie?
No,
he was in season two.
But this was Scatman Crothers' last performance before he...
What does he say right here? Cut me your receptors? What is this line? I've never understood what the hell he says.
Show me your receptors, Perceptor.
Show me your receptors, Perceptor?
Something like that.
Something like that. I never knew exactly what he said
Shut your receptors, Perceptor. I don't know.
I've never known what he says.
And then we got Soundwave.
Yeah, and then this is one of my favorite parts. Because I always... Soundwave puts out his little guys.
Other than the paint screw up when they colored the...
Yeah, where's Rumble?
Right there.
Yeah, right there. He magically two frenzies for a second. Yeah. You would think a big movie like this, come on, you should have one dude double-checking shit like that.
First we cracked the show, then we cracked the nuts inside. And this,
and then they all, yeah.
And this is the intro of Blaster's cassettes.
Yeah, no, wait. Two can play, and then he roundhouses Frenzy. Or, no, he roundhouses Rabbit.
Boom. Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. Right, then he's got a couple dogs. Oh, it's a rhino, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a rhino, like a lion, and then two soldiers.
Two little dudes. Yeah. This right here, with the little guy shoots Ravage with his little bitty gun. I don't know why that made me laugh when I was a kid. We're all going to be burnt out toaster ovens.
Light and of the then, night.
Yeah. So the battle's raging. Constructicons are flying around. I don't know why they haven't become Devastator yet, but okay.
You gotta build up to it, man. Climax.
I guess so.
And here we go. We're about to see it right now, actually.
I forget the name of those two dudes. I always thought of them as like the shittier versions of Starscream and those guys. They had the pointed heads. Yeah. They were jets.
The cone heads. That was Dirge, and Ramjet, and Thrust.
Those three of them?
Mm-hmm.
I remember two of them. Oh, okay. Let's talk. Fucking, she's dragging a body in, and it's Wind Charger. Right. I don't give a shit. But then they cut to Wheeljack, dead.
Yeah,
like he doesn't.
Like, not even dead. Like, not even, like blown to pieces.
Yeah, he's fucking. He's like a fucking walker. He's like he's gonna rise up and try and kill him.
Look at this fucker, Daniel. Trying to
push, like, a lot of help you're doing. But I thought Wheeljack deserved a proper like Prowl, you know, or Ironhide. Like I thought Wheeljack was important. Don't just cut to him dead.
Yeah.
You know, even if you don't even give him any lines, show him shooting and maybe get shot and fall down.
A hero's death.
3 seconds of footage just to show him. Let me see how he... Let me know who did it so I can know who to hate. Because I love Wheeljack.
Real quick. Like, they're freaking out right now because the Constructicons are forming Devastator.
Devastator.
This movie was actually written before season 2 came out. So, Devastator was like the biggest threat they'd seen at that point. So, the makers of this movie... Whenever this movie came out, we'd already seen all these other combiner teams that had already shown up since then. But at the time this was written, Devastator was like the shit. So,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's why they're freaking out about him.
I don't even know if I knew that when I saw that as a kid. But looking back, I know of so many combiners. I'm asking myself, why isn't the Stunticons in there? Why aren't, you know, where's everybody else?
There was...
Where's Mirage? Where's Cliffjumper? Right. Where's Huffer? Where's all these other dudes? In 20 years...
They're to the side of Wheeljack.
in 20 years' time, they're in a pile that we didn't get to cut to. If you were to zoom out a little bit, there was like just a big old pile of fucking robots. Okay, and then there was a shot of lasers flying.
Really bad shots, because they're like going up.
Yeah, because there's gravity. I didn't realize light had gravity, okay. Oh, all right, finally, reinforcements arrived.
Okay, so see Sunstreaker right there.
You said it was Sideswipe.
No, I said Sunstreaker.
Okay. Well, I was asking where was Sideswipe with Sunstreaker.
And this was the. This is also the little introduction of the Dinobots.
Of the Dinobots in the movie. Okay, can they fly? Or are they just like gliding in on the momentum of dropping?
They can fly.
Because they can fly. Yeah, right. I know they shouldn't.
But they are. I think right there, they're just gliding down.
Yeah, but in the cartoon, okay, right there, with the eyeballs,
Sludge. Yeah, he gets like kind of hammered.
That was the one little cartoony effect they threw in.
Because they did that because they were worried he was too violent. They had to throw some kind of cartoonish stuff in there, and his eyeballs bulging.
They said that was why. Because I didn't even notice that for years.
Really?
No.
Okay. Well. All right. Megatron. So, no, there's Hound. Hound's right there.
You got the touch.
All right, Wahlberg.
I was doing the Mark Wahlberg version of that song, but fuck, that's a motivating song, man.
It is.
It is. Like, yeah, I listen to that. I'm riding my bike going uphill. I'm like, I switch tracks. Dun, dun. Next thing you know, I got like my second wind. I feel like Prime just plowing through these mofos like they're nothing. And of course, the truck bed, just, or whatever you call it, the cargo trailer, mysteriously shows up. Did that ever bother you as a kid?
When
he would transform, they were like in a tunnel in the episode where they found Skywarp in the ice tunnel, and he transforms. And
Skywarp or Skyfire?
What I said, no, Skyfire. Did I say Skywarp?
Yeah.
Damn it!
this is my opportunity to to really take the high ground on that Skyfire, Jetfire, whatever the.
That's a whole other podcast. That was a debate between you
and me. That's a whole other podcast. We could spend an hour debating whether his name is Skyfire or Jetfire. I meant to say Skyfire. But yeah, he's in a tunnel and he transforms and like Cliffjumper drives away or something like that. And he backs up out of frame. Cliffjumper, wait, pulls away, and then it's there. Like it didn't just magically attach, it just showed up in frame. Okay, this is the big epic fight of the movie. Optimus versus Megatron, one shall step. That line was so good, they had to put it in the Michael Bay movie.
Yeah, that was fan voted. Like they said,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was like a choice vote? Of like five lines. And
what was the other one? Who the fuck would vote for anything beyond that line? Why do you even need to vote? Why'd you even put it up for a vote? Of course you're going to put that line in.
Because it's Michael Bay, that's what he...
Really? He has no pulse of what's cool with Transformers. He doesn't know anything. I'm going to kill Jazz, right? The one black Transformer. Nobody's going to draw any kind of weird parallels with that. Let me kill the one black Transformer. Finish him off, Prime.
The token black.
Yeah. I just like the way he lifts up his gun. Just,
yeah,
I don't know why. Yeah, it just looks very funny. It just made... There you go. That just always made me kind of laugh.
You can tell as an animator, just like, yeah. they won't notice.
You, who are without mercy. Junk. That's what you are. Junk. I love that line from the first one. That was a cool battle. That axe. Electronic axe. Electronic mace. That always reminded me of this battle.
Yeah.
Every time I saw this battle, it always reminded me of that first one they did.
Like, I was kind of hoping in this one they would kind of revisit that.
Yeah, because he pulled out, like, the lightsaber. Yeah. Megatron did. So I was like, oh, they are going old school weapons.
Yeah.
You know? Like, hand-to-hand weapons.
No, that was just Megatron kicking Optimus' ass, pretty much.
Yeah. Taking a cheap shot. Yeah. But, you know... And then this shot of him, it's over.
Right?
With all the cracks. Yeah. Like, he looks beat.
Yeah.
He looks beat up.
Like, they, like, we're beating the shit out of
him. Never!
Doom. And I love the disintegrating symbol.
The chunks flying off of him, yeah.
And all the Decepticons running towards him.
Poor Optimus. Yeah, fuck you, Hot Rod. It was all your fault. Like, no, you don't, Megatron. Like, Megatron was crawling on the ground.
Can you just shot him?
And Optimus had a gun pointed at him. Yeah. Who'd you think you were helping? Oh, when he kicks him right there. How do you feel, mighty Megatron? Yeah! That was one of the better pieces.
Like, not that he just kicked him, he, like, yelled it.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. And then the sound. Where's Astro Train been this whole time? Okay, like, Astro Train, clearly, if he's big enough to hold all these people, he
expands size.
He expands size, too. And then,
I love Rumble, like,
carry the cannon. Yeah, that was kind of a little joke, too. Prime turn the tide. But at what cost?
I think I read a fan theory about like the size changes. It's like antimatter or antispace or something. It's like,
oh, like, I'm sure somebody's come up with some scientific.
Yeah,
these Transformers have access to a wormhole, which or something.
That's where the trailer goes.
Oh, it goes into a wormhole. Yeah, that's what I was probably thinking.
Subspace.
Oh, and even the little flatline devices, it's not even a line, it's just a dot, because it's the future.
Right.
It's the year 2005. We're going to abandon the whole lines and just in favor of dots.
Because it looks cool.
Yeah. And of course, Perceptor has to be a microscope, because we have to find some reason for him to be a microscope. He uses it to account for injuries and whatnot, yeah.
That'd be funny if, like, he was, like, using the microscope part, and, like, you see, like, all them surrounded, and they're all using their visors. Yeah, you're right, Perceptor.
Actually, Perceptor, you're wrong. Maybe you can't see this that well. Because you've got, like, 2x magnification, right? It's just a magnifying glass level of magnification.
Perceptor is like, I fear the wounds are faked off. It's like, no, I'm fine, actually. Right. Where's the CR chamber?
What are you looking at, man? Yeah.
Give me a CR chamber. Where's that at?
Ultra Magnus. You'd think with a name like that, he'd be a badass.
But ultimately, no, he was not.
He was like, kind of lame. He didn't even want to be a leader. He got killed pretty freaking easy. And after he came back, he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He didn't even try and, like, you know.
He gave up. He's like, fuck it, I already did that once. Yeah, sure. You know, it's funny. Even throughout all these years, he's still regarded as, like...
lame-o.
Yeah, lame. Like,
until... Or at least in my opinion, until Transformers Prime.
Ah, yes.
Who was it? Ironside? Michael Ironside was the voice of him. And then they made him like a... he was like an Ironhide. He was like a veteran,
pretty much.
Yeah, he was a soldier. He was a veteran. Yeah. He was by the book. He was a gruff, salty dog. Yeah, yeah.
And there the comic book series More Than Meets the Eye, which is what I'm reading right now. He's like, it's funny because he gets crap from all the other Autobots because he's like the, you know. He's got a lot of notepad, and he's always like makes sure everybody's going by the book and everything. It's
oh, is he the Autobot who reminds the teacher you forgot to assign homework?
Yes, yeah, yeah. That's a good analogy. Actually.
Yeah. Oh, so now Hot Rod has to give the Matrix over. Is it convenient that Ultra Magnus right there has a compartment for a Matrix? Does every Autobot have
How does it hold right there? Like when you open it up, he's
magnetized.
Like, yeah,
okay. Magnets.
Magnets, yo. Magnets, bitch.
It's very contemporary. It's
yeah.
Very good.
Mm. You like that reference?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the Terminator, you know, when the eyes go dim.
Yeah.
Mm.
How come he's the only one that turned gray?
Because he's fucking Optimus. Because he's a Prime.
Oh.
You can answer any question. He's a Prime.
But when this came out,
that's the thing.
We didn't know Primes were a thing.
That doesn't mean they weren't a thing. We didn't know that yet. They were waiting 30 years.
This is true.
To unveil what Primes are.
This is the first time we heard of the Matrix, although it was apparently been around the whole time.
Yeah, he's been carrying it around forever. When did Sparks become a thing?
I remember it coming through Beast Wars.
Beast Wars. Okay, good. I think so too.
But the Matrix.
But I was never a comic book reader of Transformers.
Yeah, and the Matrix is a holder. That's where all the Sparks go to. Is the Matrix.
That was cool. Sparks basically are souls. You know.
Right.
But it really showed you that Transformers were like alive,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they had a soul, that they, you know,
that's
their bodies.
What gave them the emotions.
And yeah, like their bodies just happened to be, you know, inorganic, you know, metal and what have you. But okay, now it's time for a new leader.
But how does Astro Train got to lighten his burden, like lighten his weight? They're in space. It's like how does
because. Base gravity
what?
When you fought a Prime, because Primes are involved, so physics are right out the window. They were just fighting a Prime, which makes them heavy in space.
Okay, we're going to forget what you said. Like when they kick out all the...
You know what? We're recording the commentaries. You can't edit that out, so screw you. Right. Wanna bet? Starscream!
That's funny, because I was about to say wanna bet. But
yeah. Oh, there you go.
No, like when they kick out all the... The damage to
No, I know exactly what you mean.
They say, brothers,
don't. Yeah, like, I felt bad.
When they called him brothers,
yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
That's cold.
Yeah.
And again, you're right. They're in space. Why would they need to jettison some weight?
Yeah. As a kid, I didn't think about that. But
if it was during takeoff,
but
I'll buy that for a dollar. But, you know,
they're
literally in space. Oh, and how does freaking the Constructicons have the room to become Devastator in there?
It doesn't look like they have that much space.
Yeah. But
I love the animation right there, though. Man,
yeah.
The Transformers, yeah.
But what I love right in that scene is that, you know...
The transformation.
Soundwave, he's very, you know, laconic. He's all about the...
he's going like...
He's all about the economy of phrasing. And when they're like, you know, no one to follow you, he doesn't bother retorting with a comeback. He just lets his dudes come out of his chest.
Yeah.
He doesn't even blink. He doesn't move. He just lets his dudes come out and speak for him.
Yeah.
He's that cool. I'm not even going to answer you. I'm going to let my little minions who live in my chest speak for me. Okay. I guess Unicron knew what was going down because
it's very
convenient.
He's got all those monitors.
Yeah. Because it's very convenient that in space they just happen to run into each other.
In the vastness of space. Yeah.
The vastness of space. It's a big ass sky.
But then again, we don't know how long Megatron has been floating.
Well, I mean, I assume Starscream would want his coronation as soon as he landed.
True.
I can't imagine they were floating for very long. I'm sure Unicron was following them, monitoring them, and doing exactly. He knew that the Matrix had been handed down.
Right.
So he knew he had to get somebody to kill Ultra Magnus. And he's like, well, I guess I'll get some Decepticons to do it. He was probably trailing them. They got dumped. He's like, fine, I'll use these dudes. They're easier to rebuild because they're all broke ass.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
God, the voice and everything. Music.
The voice,
yeah.
He was a good choice for Unicron.
Yeah. I can't picture him any other way now.
Yeah, no. Even, like, the power of his voice is, like, propelling him back. Were those tears? Or just, like, what is that down his face, Megatron?
Lubricants. I don't know.
Lubricants. Leaking lubricants. His circuits are sizzling. So, this is where Megatron makes, in a little Faustian scene, makes a deal with the devil.
Mm-hmm. What are all those moving parts inside Unicron? It's like, there's a lot of shit going on there.
Yeah. Okay, you probably can answer. Did they ever go back in the detail? I mean, I know they probably have. Where Unicron came from, his origins.
Yeah, it's kind of...
He was not... Because Transformer Prime proposed this theory that the Earth...
That, spoiler.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Never mind. You know what? I'm not even going to talk about that.
You know, you said too much already.
Yeah, I said... Perhaps I've said too much. But yeah, in the comics, what was his origin?
More or less just a rival to Cybertron itself, really. Just because Cybertron, I don't know, it was more of a thing with Primus being the god, and he could transform, like Cybertron, he was like the heart of Cybertron, and Unicron was his rival on that, so it's kind of convoluted, and it depends on what source you're going off of, but yeah, it's just pretty much what it is. Going into too much detail about this right now.
And Primus was like their god.
Right, yeah, yeah.
They're always like, by Primus or whatever. By Krom.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, there is some conjecture about who became whom. Right there, we got a shot of an Insecticon.
Okay, and it's like...
And one of the jets.
I'm going to say Skywarp.
I think it was Skywarp. And then we see two of them becoming Cyclonus right there.
The Armada.
There. One is Cyclonus and his Armada. And
apparently Unicron doesn't know what Armada is, but...
Yeah, one dude does not an Armada make unless he's... I don't know. I have an army. We have a Hulk. Mm-hmm. One guy could... You know, if he was so badass, he could be the equivalent of Armada if the Hulk is the equivalent of an army. Lawyered. Just proved you wrong.
But they don't prove that in this, though.
No, they don't prove it in this. Especially because that Armada disappears. And there's only like one Cyclonus after this.
And in the series after that, too. It's like we never see that
second Cyclonus. Yeah. So, yes, no, they never did prove that point that I propose. Oh, I love this part. Kiss on was the ceremony. How are they blowing those horns? Do they breathe?
I don't know.
And where did this crown come from? Do you think Starscream commissioned this crown like years
ago? Oh yeah, definitely. I'm definitely going back.
He's had this in a box, just waiting for years.
It's a cool looking crown. I give him that. It is
pretty cool.
He's got
some
style. He's got the cape.
He's got the cape going on. Yeah, totally. And party crashers.
I don't know if you noticed that, but when Cyclonus is flying down, he nicks an Insecticon. And Insecticon goes tumbling over.
So, oh no, really? I didn't even notice that. Dang, I wish I could rewind it.
Yeah, but you can't, so...
Yeah, I'll do it later.
And here's a
hint.
Yeah.
Then we're back to people dying.
Yeah. Violently.
Finally. Although, I was bummed, because I love Starscream. Mm-hmm. He's fun.
You know, they brought him back a couple of episodes before, later on. Like, he was the ghost in the machine in season 3. It's like, his ghost came back and it possessed...
Waspinator?
No, that was Beast Wars.
That wasn't Beast Wars. That was a good episode in Beast Wars.
But before that, he possessed Scourge, I think.
I think I do remember that. Yeah.
I think it was Scourge.
Yeah, because I remember watching Beast Wars and thinking this was cool, but it wasn't like the first time I've heard of this.
Yeah.
But him as Waspinator, that was one of the earliest, biggest love letters to the original series. That was when they were really establishing that they were in the same world.
Yeah, and I think I said that on our other podcast.
You did. Yeah, you talked about it briefly.
It was where Beast Wars was like the first time where we had fans of the original canon, like growing up and being able to contribute to the shows.
Yeah, I love Beast Wars. We should do a show about Beast Wars. If y'all would want to hear a show about Beast Wars, if you even know what Beast Wars is, you know, let us know, because I applaud you, because I don't know anybody who watches Beast Wars. I talk about it all the time, and people are like, at best, they'll be like, oh, I think I know what you're talking about. But I don't know anybody who, like, followed it.
You know, every once in a while, like at work or whatever, someone will tell me some bad news or whatever, something bad, and I'll say, oh,
that's just Prime.
And, like, I say it, I pause it for a second and just kind of look around, like, nope. Nobody knows what else.
Nobody?
Like,
ah. Yeah, didn't think so.
Anyway.
Okay, all right. Okay, Unicron's destroying the first moon base, right? There's the first one. Okay, yeah, Jazz and Cliffjumper. Was that Casey Kasem doing his voice?
Mm-hmm.
He came back for this? Cool.
Yeah, that was at the start of the movie when he's doing the countdown. His little wink in the
five,
night. Yeah,
four, three. Yeah, it was him. I can just hear it in my head now.
That was just a nod to Casey Kasem doing his thing,
his countdown. here on Dan's Party. Let's do the sprain. That was a little Save of the Bell reference for you.
Yeah.
The Zack Attack. Okay. Coming at you with their top hit, Friends Forever. God. That was like the only guest, like, celebrity that Save of the Bell ever had was Casey Kasem. They had to invent their own celebrities, like Johnny Dakota. Remember the movie star who smoked weed in the bathroom?
Oh, God, yes.
Like, they couldn't get an actual movie star, so they had to invent one. Or whatever.
That's another episode I could do right there.
Save by the Bell? Bell? Oh, God, yeah. I could talk about that all day. Shit. Did we talk about that Save by the Bell movie the other day? Or not the other... Well, the other... Whatever.
We mentioned it before.
Yeah.
On one of the other times you were on here. Yeah. Okay, so Unicron just...
Boom! Woohoo! Yay! All right! We did it!
I think this is about to upset Spike here in a second.
This version... Yeah, I do have the version that has it. It is even dented. Oh shit. What are we going to do now? I was like, whoa. Cartoons cussing at me.
Interestingly enough, that oh shit was like cut out of all the DVD releases up until this version that you have.
Yeah, I've seen versions without it, but I was like, I'm not going crazy. Like, I know he said it for years. I wouldn't believe. No, I was like, I know I remember he said it. Because it blew my mind. You don't forget shit like that. You don't forget a shit like that. Mm. Yeah.
Alright, this is... we finally find out that Galvatron has some kind of control over... I mean, Unicron has control over Galvatron.
Yeah, this is reminiscent of something else. Just being able to just cause you pain like that. I don't know what it is. It's making me think of something, but I can't think of it. I thought Galvatron's ship was the shit. That's just a cool-looking design. The way it looks with the
stuff. It didn't really do anything. I mean,
it never did anything. Yeah. I just thought it looked cool. Like, whoever drew that was like, oh, you know, they could have just easily come up with, like, the shuttles the Autobots fly that are just shaped
right.
like a wing. You know, basically. But I was like, oh, like, that somebody thought about something. You know, what if the engines are up here? What if it's kind of reminiscent of the Enterprise with the two things coming off and the engines. I thought
Spock is the pilot.
His shape. No shit. Right? Yeah. Hey, what if there was a little reference there? What if... Hey, Spock, let's give him something a little reminiscent of info. What if there was something there? Okay, now they're about to get attacked again. They finally piled up the bodies of their buddies.
By the way, this is the scene that Snarl, the fifth Dinobot, he shows up for like a split scene to get shot up right now, and that's like the last time we see him.
He wasn't in the rest of the movie?
He was in the first scene when they fought Devastator. He was in that scene.
He wasn't?
Mm-mm. It was just the four.
No, there was four of them flying, right? It was Grimlock, Slag, Sludge, and Swoops.
Right. Starl was in there.
He wasn't?
Starl's right here. He was in this scene right here.
Yeah, he's the one who, like, doesn't he the one who, as it flies by? No. Or is that a different one?
That was Slag.
Oh.
We're about to see that in a second. Okay, see this right here. This is what I'm talking about, where RC's got a thing for Hot Rod. No, you better, you know.
That doesn't mean anything. But just because you better stay close to me. She saved his life. They're comrades. They're soldiers.
Okay, you can take. Okay, I took it a different way. Apparently,
I never saw anything. Oh, that's what I was thinking of. It was Grimlock who did it. As he and fist pumping like, oh, I'm gonna get you, you pesky Dinobot. So where's Snarl? I still don't see him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's not there. They left him behind. He's got to defend the base, I guess.
That's lame, because I had Snarl. I think you gave me a Snarl.
Maybe.
Back, no, I do have a Snarl.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, yeah, I think you had like a spare. You had a second Snarl lying around. You're like, hey, you want this one? You also get, which was the bulldozer Constructicon?
Eek.
Because you gave me one of those, too.
Scavenger?
I don't know their names. But I do have one of those. I still have them. And I gave you a Ravage.
I still have it.
Yeah. And oddly enough, I found that.
At the theater.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I was just like...
I was there, because, yeah.
I was like, what the hell is this? Like, holy shit, this is a Transformer. This is like the late 90s. I just found a Transformer on the ground.
This was before everybody was back into collecting again.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And I think you gave it to me to have it in safekeeping.
Yeah. You still have it, though, because it's technically still mine, right? Anyways, hey, look at
Cup. Statue of Limitations.
Yeah, look at Cup doing his thing. Petrol rabbits or whatever he's talking about. See, look at that ship. Yeah, it just looks like a ship. No, not too much thought was put into it.
It's got some badassery to it, a little bit.
It just looks like a ship. It looks like the Ark with like some engines on the back. I'm just saying, whoever drew it was like, yeah, let me just draw a quick ship. But whoever drew Galvatron's ship, oh, let me draw some pipes and some engines. And he took about 2 seconds to think a little bit more.
And then Ultra Magnus, screw up number one, just like totally
forgets RC. Dude.
Springer's got to save her.
Yeah. So Ultra Magnus, I think he was gay. And that's why he didn't even... All accounted for?
All the guys are here,
yeah. Didn't even care about the chick. Oh, damn.
Nice little save by...
I guess Don't Ask, Don't Tell is still implemented in 2005. They let Ultra Magnus in because he's lame. He didn't do anything in this movie. It's kind of useless.
Yeah.
Even RC at least saved Hot Rod's life right there. And RC, Springer saved RC's life. But really, what did Ultra Magnus directly do for anybody?
He held the Matrix until Hot Rod can get it back.
He's useless. He's just a soldier. You like that one? Okay, there's still no Snarl. I guess you're right. Does he not appear in the rest of the movie at all?
There is. I'll point it out to you later on.
Okay. He's just kind of... He's in that wormhole hanging out with Optimus's trailer.
Yeah. He's polishing it up.
He's cleaning it up, yeah.
Any minute now, they'll need me.
This gigantic ick-yak.
Kim stomping and chomping.
And then we get a little bit of sparring with the robot.
I kind
of
like that.
With a little lightsaber. Maybe it's a little Star Wars-y-ish.
I like that. He's like...
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, training here.
Yeah. With the robot.
And he's actually... he's already like thinking of a plan, like what to do. And they're just kind of chilling, talking about war stories.
Petro rabbits. What can you tell us about petro rabbits?
Not a goddamn thing.
Come on, you've read the books. Isn't there any
series?
They're
metal rabbits. I don't know. They're white. I don't know.
They're used for fuel, like petroleum.
Right.
So you put rabbits in your engine and you throw them in there, and they die.
What does Cup do to these missiles?
He engraves the polarities.
What does it do?
Duh.
What does it?
You know what? We're being recorded. I don't want to have to explain it to you and let everybody know you don't even know what engraving polarities means.
Okay, all
right. Come on, I'm gonna do you a favor, and I'm just not gonna explain it right now. But it's kind of obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, true. Yeah. Makes them splat against the windshield.
He makes them go up, so they miss them and come back.
All right, I love
because it's a lot less dangerous to get shot in the front than the back.
I love this animation right here. This transformation animation right here.
And I like that he falls back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Puts his thrusters and then takes off. I don't know.
Beautiful.
That looked
animation.
Real. And then the curve, like he wouldn't be flying in a straight line. He would kind of.
Yeah.
The way the jet exhaust curves like that. Yeah, the animation was really cool. The lasers are so bright and vivid.
And of course, there's going to be those little nitpickers. There wouldn't be a trail like that in space or fire or anything like that.
But I mean, even Hollywood. Look at Armageddon. How many explosions were in space there? Yeah. And unfortunately, though, they shoot them down right next to a planet to crash land on.
Convenient.
Very convenient.
Yeah.
So they're on the planet of junk.
This is funny when Springer says they're going to hunt us and they see us dead, and Ultra Magnus says, well, that's exactly what they're going to see. I was like, damn, you're a worthless leader.
Yeah. You say we should just die? Emergency separation. Seen this many times. Little twinkle in his eye right there. Which I don't think I've ever even noticed until just now.
Really?
Oh. I probably have. But
you had to.
Yeah, I never felt compelled to comment.
It's like you're doing commentary on it or anything.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I've recorded like 18 commentaries for this over the years.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they're just under audio tapes under my bed.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then, see? Look at that ship. It's kind of cool. I don't know. I thought it looks cool. And then the sweeps with... Okay, what's your stance on Transformers with facial hair?
It's weird.
It's weird. He has a beard.
And it's weird because there's so many of them from this movie that had it.
Yeah, Wreck-Gar's got
the Wreck-Gar was more like organic. He's
got the big curly mustache. Yeah. And even in, what was the second one that Michael Bay did? The when they went to like the Smithsonian or whatever.
Jetfire.
Yeah. Are you sure it was Jetfire?
I'm pretty sure.
I think it was Skyfire.
Well, see, that's the thing. They meant to be Skyfire, but Michael Bay fucked that up, too.
Yeah, you're right. Anyways, he had, like, whisker... Like, he had, like, a long goatee thing. He even walked with a cane.
In the new one, Part 4, Hound, he's got a beard.
In the new one? I haven't seen the fourth one yet.
It's kind of funny, because John Goodman does the voice of Hound, and it works.
Seriously?
It actually works pretty good.
John Goodman.
Yeah.
Huh. I love John Goodman.
Yeah, it works. Yeah, that's good. Trust me. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So now we're
robot fish eating robot fish.
Like, how does every planet have robots in it. It's kind of weird, right?
I was assumed it was like a solar system thing. Like Cybertron was just one planet in like a solar system where everything was robotic.
Could be. That's a good, yeah, good theory.
Like the galaxy is big, and if you go this way to the left, you'll find like aliens, like right. xenomorphs and predators. If you go to the right, you find nothing but robots, and we're in the middle. And I kind of just took it like that.
That's a good theory.
Yeah. Because really, when you're a robot, pretty much any planet could be inhabitable.
Not only does Hot Rod have the blasters on both arms, he's got
the
fucking
saw. Yeah. Fucking yeah! If you're his bone saw is ready, you know he can just chop fish up. You got robot squids that even have ink.
Yeah, right.
I love that the biology is the same right. for them too. Which makes you think, like, whoa, did Primus, did he examine Earth for our biological animals? Because, you know, fish and squids and all that kind of stuff. Shark,
again, tacons. With the boom saw. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Thing's handy as hell.
I love the music on this one right here.
This is, Nothing's Gonna yeah. Stand in Our Way. Yeah, that's a good song.
God, the soundtrack again. I mean, that's just...
I love those keyboards and the power chords and all that stuff. Yeah. See? Even has ink. Like a squid. Are those bubbles because he's not breathing?
Well, what else would it be from?
There's pockets of air in him. I don't know how they're talking underwater. Fix
voice,
me.
Voice modulators.
The sound. Oh, yeah.
I always thought that was funny. He just kind of gradually walks over, picks up his other limbs, walks back to him. I don't know.
I guess so.
It just seems weird because he says, "Fix me." He puts him down and walks. He kind of like walks over.
Well, how's he gonna fix him without his pieces?
Well, no, it's like no sense of urgency. He just kind of like gradually, kind of.
That he was just so nonchalant and casual, like that. That didn't even look like a planet. It almost looked like a floating island. Is it literally made of junk?
I hope not. That'd be kind of
like so much junk was floating that the gravity kind of brought it together.
It made its
like,
own gravity.
Like and then as you get bigger, more gravity, more junk floating, and it's literally just become like gravity brings junk.
Maybe it's slowly starting.
He even called it on the planet of junk.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's literally just a planet of junk.
What if it's like forming? It's like the early stages of forming a planet. It's like the top part of it is going to slowly over time grow into like.
I don't think planets grow from the outside
that's
in.
That's true. Yeah. I was thinking of that as I was saying. I was like, that's retarded.
I'm no planetariologist, but I don't think that's
that
how
word?
That works. Yeah. No, it is a planetologist.
Oh, okay.
That is a word.
That sounds more legit than.
No, it was in Dune.
So it must be true.
Dad's exosuit.
Did he tell him all about it?
I think he told him all about it, yeah.
But he never showed him how to use it before.
And he probably, I mean, okay, if Daniel fits in this, I mean, Spike hasn't worn that shit in like 15 years. Mm-hmm. Why would they keep it on the, you know, can we get rid of this exosuit? Mm-hmm. Can you stop leaving your exosuit here? You outgrew it 15 years ago, Spike.
Well, see, Hot Rod, he's the slacker. He was the one that was supposed
to clean up. He's in charge.
Yeah, was the one that was supposed to clean up the shuttles. You know?
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
Like
he wanted to go out racing with Danny. He's like, yeah, on our day off, me and Danny are gonna go racing.
You know, Daniel would help you race. Let's get you the suit.
Yeah, exactly. Suit up, exo suit up. See what? Yeah. See what I did there?
Yeah.
I combined an exo squad and a How I Met Your Mother reference into a Transformer joke. Yeah.
Very good.
I just did. Bam! That just happened. Okay, enter the Junkions.
Why were they just sitting underneath the junk?
It's cooler. Like, temperature-wise.
In space?
There was sun. There's a lot of suns around. It's cool. Look at that sky. It's all red. If they were in deep space, it would be black.
Okay, fine.
Score one for Captain Logic. Okay. Okay, you even got rid of a nasty... Bear bar in my rotator. What's this line? There's another line that I've never really fully understood what he said.
You're just nasty bar in my rotator.
What's a nasty bar?
You even got rid of a nasty bar in my rotator.
Yeah. What's a bar?
I don't know. Is that a bone? I don't know.
You got rid of a bone. Thank you very much for getting rid of a bone.
I'm not a fucking Transformer medical.
Ologist. Okay, that is probably my favorite transformation in the movie because he does the little twist.
Yeah,
and they drive about 15 feet, and let's turn back into robots.
Well, they weren't expecting to run into water.
Yeah, enter the Sharktacons.
Oh, and here we get the famous,
Universal greeting.
Yeah.
Use the universe. And where does he keep that little box of Energon goodies?
In his utility belt.
Cup's got a utility belt?
Sure, why not? Fuck it.
Maybe he keeps it in his leg like Robocop.
I'll go with that.
Yeah. I'll buy that for $1.
He's a soldier. I'm sure he's got compartments and shit like that, dude.
Nothing useful.
See, the belt buckle. His utility belt. See? Look at that.
Not a utility belt. He pulled that out of his stomach, out of his crotch. That was like a big, it was like Bender. He was just completely empty inside.
He just took a Bender Joker.
He just store whatever he wants to in there. Because Bender always opens his chest and he fits like anything in there. He'll fit Lucy Liu's head in there.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. No more.
Empty.
Yeah, and the Sharktacons quote unquote transformation. Oh, fucking. Who the fuck is this Autobot? Wheelie's my name. Wanna play a game?
Oh, God. This
fucking Wheelie.
What were they thinking?
I don't know what they were thinking. Another toy.
Yeah.
Maybe for the little kids.
Yeah.
Maybe. For the little brothers of the fans who come to see it. They'll be like, I liked Wheelie. Because he was fucking lame. And their cruel masters, the Quintessons.
Yes. And the judge.
I know the Quintessons. I remember, what was it? Five Faces of Darkness was that cartoon that like delved into
the creation of
Orion Pax. I don't know if that was the first time they ever mentioned by name Orion Pax.
No, Orion Pax was mentioned in season 2 in the for the Aerial Bots.
Oh, thanks for making me look like a fucking idiot. But
they went back in time, and that's when they met Orion Pax.
They did?
Yeah.
Season 2?
I think it was season 2. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm no judge of when the seasons are.
My instinct,
it's all lumped together in childhood in childhood memory.
My instinct took me there, so I'm going to go with that. And this is where we get the narration from what Unicron is and what's going on over here, and
from Kranix.
Yeah.
So I guess how did he get off that planet? The whole planet was destroyed.
You didn't see him at the very beginning, the little shuttle.
But where's everybody else? It makes it seem like he was the one dude who got away. How does one dude get away from a planet? That's what I'm saying.
He was the only one that was looking up in the sky.
A shuttle gets away, but shouldn't there be like a fucking 100 other people from this planet here?
You think so.
That's what I'm saying. Just having one dude, like, he's the lone survivor.
Maybe there's only 20 guys living on the planet.
He fucking had Kal-El's space pod and just launched. But instead of landing on Earth, he landed on this planet where they feed him to the sharks.
Oh, the irony.
The mockery of justice. What's this dude's deal? He's got the long head like an alien, but he's got tentacles, and he's got the little floaty thing.
Yeah, and it's like he's part of the Quintessons, but he's not a Quintesson.
Yeah, he looked different. He's the only dude I know who looked like that. And he looked kind of cool. I was wondering what his deal was. Was he a specific race or something? So the Dinobots, how'd they land by themselves?
They were in the shuttle with Cub and Hot Rod, and they just got separated when
they crashed.
Yeah,
I guess. So them four landed safely, I guess. Oh, and then two random dudes wound up in the water. Gotcha.
Yep.
I used to say this line of like, "You're full of brilliant baloney."
Yeah.
Like, nobody ever got it. I abandoned it. I got tired of the weird looks. Oh, speaking of getting tired of, I'm already tired of Wheelie.
And we have this on mute.
it's fucking muted, and I'm sick of Wheelie. Look at him. Look at that face. He just got that face you want to punch. And the rhyming and his high pitch. Oh, God. When Grimlock, bam, knocks him down.
Yeah.
He's got a slingshot. Who uses... Nobody cool uses a slingshot other than Bart Simpson.
I was about to say.
Or Dennis the Menace. But who's that really lame dwarf in the new Hobbit movies?
Oh, Ori. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, there's one dwarf who uses a slingshot. He's the most annoying one, and he has a slingshot. He's another face I want to punch. Okay, what's Unicron's deal right here again? I'm forgetting. He called Galvatron back, because Galvatron... Yeah, he lets him know he failed. They don't have cell phones in the future.
Right.
He's like, yeah, come all the way out here so I can tell you You could have texted me.
No, yeah. Ultra Magnus lives. He's on the planet. He knows everything. Unicron is just, he's all knowing.
Yeah, or that was the episode War Dawn with Orion Pax. Sorry, I just had to
get that. Oh, you go. Oh, yeah. War. Oh, you just remembered randomly.
No, I googled it.
Oh, you googled it. Oh, is that what you were doing on your phone for the last minute or so?
I had to defend my instincts.
See, even Blur has like a little handy. Back, they a lot of them had like their hand would go away, and like Optimus had the axe.
Yeah.
Jazz had like a grappling hook.
Yeah.
Trailblazer had a force field. It was on early episodes. They were on like an oil rig, and somebody had like a fire extinguisher, kind of a. They were putting out a fire with it, like.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who that was. Because they were like Trailblazer, use your force field, contain it. I'll help. And then he had like a, but everybody had like a gimmick in their hand. And I guess Hot Rod has his little bones. transform, you can do it. And then they just ditch him.
What a dick.
Like, you can do it, you. And they leave him there to keep running, yelling transform to nobody. Because you can't do it because you're a little.
And he prick. Never. I mean, how does it? How did that happen?
Because
he
wait, didn't... human germ. Okay, why is an Insecticon right there? I thought they all became
clones.
Oh, so it was. Oh, I guess that puts me in my place. Yes, it was a clone. Well, how could he be cloned if he's not even?
It's the easiest answer. I'm just all going to say is clones.
Okay, fine, clones. That's why an Insecticon randomly shows up in this fight.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't even notice Perceptron right there got blown away. I mean, he lived because at this point in the movie, lasers won't kill you. You can get shot up to shit.
They met the death quota.
Yeah. Only if you're in an original series can you die.
All right, so this is another interesting scene. Ultra Magnus. Thinking that the darkest moment is his death.
What balls on this fucking guy? He really is. Yeah.
Prime, you said you it was said our darkest it, hour.
Our darkest hour. I'm cornered here with Galvatron and one of the Cyclonuses. I don't know if it's Cyclonus or his armada.
Okay, right
but
here.
It's one of them.
Right here. Okay, this was a change in the editing process. They shoot him, and he just kind of sits there for a second and just falls apart. Like that?
Falls apart or blows up.
He blows up, but it was weird because he just... But you know when he puts them back together, he's in pieces. They just...
Yeah.
Just like, okay.
I was going to bitch about that in a minute.
Okay. Well, the reason it's like that was because, you know when you see the sweeps coming down and the laser beams come out, they shoot like... They stay there. Like they don't... The lasers just kind of continue out.
They're like proton packs. They're like a stream.
Yeah. They were actually drawing quarter room. They're wrapping the original script, they're wrapping around his legs and his arms, and they actually pull him apart.
Almost like these little beams right now that
that
Cup and Hot Rod have. Okay, yeah. I can
but
see
they
that. But
they said that's too much.
Okay, all right. Well, I enjoyed seeing him get blown up.
Yeah.
But yeah, when they just literally piece him together like a Lego, like just plug his arm back
or
into
a toy,
his arm.
Or a transformer
toy. Or a toy. Here we get another great... Great song from the soundtrack. Was this Hunger?
Hunger.
Yeah. Oh, I love the song. I want it so bad. I can't take it. And it drives me mad to see you waste it. Yeah.
Touché, sir.
Because I need it so bad. It's hurting me.
Okay.
Okay, is that enough? So, wait. Okay, I take it back. I called those dudes earlier... Sharkticons. Those weren't Sharkticons.
No.
These are the Sharkticons.
Right.
Those were like Alligator Cons or something like that.
You know,
those were like Gator Cons or something. Okay, right here. They show them, they come right out, they're at the ledge of the water. He drives right into them, and all of a sudden there's land in front of him. Like that, I was like, what the hell? Shouldn't he have fallen right back into the water?
Subspace.
The wormhole. All the water went into that wormhole. Where Snarl is swimming in it.
Regardless.
Between polishing.
He didn't even bend defender.
The truck bed, yeah.
So.
See? Like, they frisked him.
And
then he's got lasers on his arm.
Rips the tail off.
Tail, yeah. Because he doesn't have lasers. But look at it. They frisked him. They put him in jail. But he's still got fucking lasers on his arms.
Yeah.
And this is one of my favorite bits.
Right,
where
yeah,
right
he
here, where Hot Rod, boom!
Right.
And yeah. And just
knocks all
that
down.
And yeah, and he gave that shark to Khan's orthodontist a new wing of his house. And then he shreds that other right. one's face off. He took his face off. Yeah. And then this dude walks, gets stuck with the ring, with the wriggling tentacles, yeah. which is just visually fun. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the Dinobots, they had a little bit of levity. Where's Snarl in this whole... No mm-hmm. shit.
He'll be later.
I always kind of wish the Dinobots were robots more of the time. I thought they looked cool. Or at least Grimlock looked cool. The way his chest opened up and he had his little arms hanging off. Yeah. Like, I thought he looked like a cool robot.
Because he
does. And he had no mouth. He had a kind of an Optimus Wheeljack thing. Like, he didn't have a mouth. So he looked really cool as a robot. But he spent, like, 95% of the time as a Rex. So Dinobots, I can see the Sharktacons respecting them because they're animals. These are like the king of the animals. Mm-hmm. I can see them looking up to these guys.
Yeah. Well, plus they just destroy.
Well, yeah, just yeah. Plus they're like this is like Godzilla coming in. But yeah, but on the animalistic level, I can see them like yeah, we're gonna follow the alpha male in right. this jungle or whatever you want to call it.
Like how they're using each other as ladders.
Yeah. Fucking ripped off years later in World War Z.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Now Wheelie's a friend.
Ugh, now Wheelie. He'll be mine, too. Yeah.
It took me forever to figure out what he said. Like, ship stare over there.
Give
like,
stare over there.
It's like, ship stare over there. And I was like, it's like he's saying to look over there for the
I always thought he said give stare over there. Like, give a stare, you know, give a stare over there. Is that not what he said? Yeah. I was assuming that's what he said, because that kind of makes
it
sense.
It doesn't matter. We spent too much time talking about that already.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not like there's anything important going on. I mean, yeah, Ultra Magnus is lying dead on the ground, but there's nothing important going on.
Yeah, but this is. Just because it's the introduction of Weird Al's
Weird Al Yankovic's Dare to Be Stupid. Right. A lovely song. Every once in a while, Weird Al will do something that he calls a style parody. It's an original song that's not spoofing mm-hmm. any specific song, but it's more done in the style. He's done the style like Nine Inch Nails. In this case, he did the style of Devo. You might know as Whip It.
Right.
Whip It Good. Maybe specifically that song. And I think Mark Mothersbaugh, the main Whip Devo guy, like when he heard this, he was like, it was just the most beautiful sound I've ever heard. And I hate him for it. You know, that Weird Al took his style and arguably, like, you know, did even better.
I think this is probably his most well-known original song without being a parody. You know what I'm saying?
It's oh, like, yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, none of his original songs have ever made it to be singles.
Yeah.
You won't hear them on the radio. Right. I think he's got some really great original songs. I think Frank's 2000-inch TV, I love that song. I sing along with that one, too. He's got some really great original. His most famous ones are his covers.
But the fact that they included him in this 80s movie...
It makes sense. I don't know why it does.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
Maybe it's because Transformers and Weird Al are just so a big part of my childhood that it just made sense for them to go together. You know, Weird Al's coming.
Well, if you
want to
do pop culture in the 80s, I mean, as far as musicians go, I mean, Weird Al's up there.
He is pop. Yeah. He is pop culture. Yeah, I think this is the first time I saw Springer turn to a car.
You know what I hate about this scene? Like, Springer had to be saved by Daniel. I hate that.
Because
like,
Springer's lame. I'm telling you, he's lame. He's got that weak fucking laser. His sword is made out of freaking aluminum or something because it just broke.
Against a rusty
knife. Against a dude who lives on a junk planet. And he broke.
Oh, right here. This is where Snarl's at. You're going to see him. You just passed
him. Was he in the window view right there? Are you serious?
Yep.
How did I ever miss that? It was clear as day.
You blink and you miss it. But that's, like, it.
Yeah, if you had, like, the freaking JFK crew analyzing this back to the left, if you look right there.
You knew me 15 years ago, right?
Yeah, I know I did. But you had... That was a VHS.
Damn right. I wore that shit out.
Really? You saw that on a VHS?
Yeah, I have
a VHS. Dang, my hat's off to you, sir. I have a VHS copy lying around, too, somewhere.
It's funny because I had it on VHS, and at the time, I worked at a video store, and it had the where you shrink wrap the things, and I actually took it up to work and I shrink wrapped it, so I have it back up.
Oh, hey, what the fuck? I thought he was out of Energon goodies. Was he hoarding some?
Well, maybe they replenishes. I don't know.
What do you think that ship had Energon goodies just in store in the galley? Some freeze dried, Energon goodies, probably. And then they dance right here. This is a little weird. And it's that weak just replay. The it's like a GIF. or a GIF, whatever you want to call it. It was just being replayed back and forth, back and forth, about four times. Mm-hmm. It went back and forth, back and forth.
It was a GIF before break GIF dance. Was a GIF.
Yeah, this was, that was the original GIF, GIF, whatever. I'm saying GIF.
I say GIF.
I say GIF, too. I don't care. And right there, the way his arm, that little quick cut to end, that was like almost a GIF.
Just do you know what he's saying right there?
Like, I've never known what he's saying. I was about to ask you. I understand, like, every third word dude says. Eric Idle. I can barely even tell it's Eric Idle. They obviously auto-tuned. They did some tweaking to make him sound
robotic.
I'm going to
say Michael Bay ripped Bumblebee's voice thing off of Rengar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I talked some TV. I remember a couple ago, I talked some TV, and now the news. Don't touch that dial. I remember my parents laughed at that joke. Really? That was like, they thought that was funny. And I was like, and I always remembered it, because like, am I supposed to get why that joke's funny? Probably, because I didn't get a lot of jokes. But the fact that my mom and dad are laughing, like, yeah, I'm probably not supposed to get why that's funny until years later.
Yeah.
Because I used that joke in The Running Man. And again, I saw that movie with my mom in the theater. Yeah, it's weird. I saw that movie with my mom. I remember she laughed at that joke, too, where they bust in the studio and the dude says, don't touch that dial. I remember her laughing, and I'm like, okay, there's something about this line, don't touch that dial. That's twice I haven't gotten it, and my parents have. Oh, and I guess, okay, yeah, so they're friends now. I guess we missed the big song and dance
number.
I like
how like Ultra Magnus comes back alive, and he's like, "You're all alive." It's like,
"Yeah,
well, yeah, I do."
You mean without me, y'all were able to survive? I thought I was making the last stand, and you know, I gave my life to protect y'all. Yeah, right. They were only hunting them down for your ass. You put them in danger.
Again, yeah. Something else he was.
Yeah. So then we get the junkie on ship, which is again, you know,
it was a cool reveal.
The way it came up like that, like the Quintesson ship, it looks like their planet. It looks like the word design with all. It's very very few straight lines.
I love the takeoff animation right there, where it's like the ground starts blowing up.
Starts blowing up, because all the force is under the ground rumbling or something. But the Quintesson ship, I just like that. It looks like something they would have designed with a lot of curves to it. The same thing with Unicron. You know, he's a fucking sphere with curvy horns, you know. That was the thing about this new era of all these guys, of Hot Rod, of RC, was they had a lot more curves. Mm-hmm. All the old guys were very straight-lined, things like that. They're
Well, look at Galvatron, I mean...
Yeah, his cannon was curved, RC's head is round, all that kind of shit. Hot Rod's head is round, the Matrix is all curvy. It was like a new take.
Ultra Magnus almost had it. Like, Galvatron didn't have a clue how to open that damn Matrix. He was over here like...
Yeah, he's sticking his fingers like, that's gonna give you the best grip. Let me just, like I'm going to palm it like a basketball and just, like, pull a basketball apart by palming it from both ends, you know? And fucking, unless you're the Hulk, I don't think that's going to work, dude.
So, we get the big reveal.
Very elaborate transformation of, you know, because they show, like, that right there, those two pipes, bam.
Like the
and then they spin to show they're locking in. It was very intricate for its time. A lot of detail to this.
I love that shot
right there of all the little
bits. His crotch lining in place.
Yeah, there's like a dozen moving parts in every one shot.
Oh, the big reveal, the abs, right?
Oh, yeah. Unicron's got a six-pack, yeah. He works out. I don't know how he maintains
that. I love
that
shot of Galvatron, like the worried look on his face.
Because, you know, you got to imagine moons have a lot of calories.
Right,
to maintain a six-pack, you
good.
Know, that's, that Bally's membership is paying off, dude.
It's the wings going and everything.
Why does he have wings?
Why not?
Well... I guess because Galvatron has, we didn't talk about it, he has like this orbit, not an orbit, like a ring around him. And I'm assuming that's what those wings were. They were those pipes of circle around him.
Oh, you're talking about Unicron when he's in the...
Yeah, what'd I say, Galvatron?
I think so,
I said Unicron.
But yeah, he's got that little ring around the...
Well, there's no way to prove what I said or not. So, let's just say I said Unicron. Yeah, and I assume that's what those wings were, because they were like...
Definitely. I've always assumed that, yeah.
Yeah. But again, I don't know what purpose the wings serve, and I don't know what purpose.
Oh, there goes the ship. He just took out the ship.
He ate him, right? Yeah.
No, the ship that we were talking about earlier.
Oh, the ship. Yeah. Because those dudes, don't they do something in this fight?
No.
Are they shoulder? Are you sure? I could have sworn the cone heads do something.
They just got eaten.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Are you talking about them, or are you talking about the?
And it's near here, near
the Enterprise.
Now, so. Well, both of them just got destroyed. So it doesn't matter.
Okay, that's what I meant. That's what I touched on. What was I talking about? The ring thing? That was going nowhere. Because I don't know what the fuck it does. It serves the same purpose. It looks cool.
Yeah.
Because it lights up. Because apparently he eats planets just to power up that ring thing. Because when he eats that planet, it like vroom, it lights up like it's on full power.
Right.
So that ring thing is very important. You should probably know what it's called. Because the ring thing
isn't. I know this line Rhaegar is right there.
Oh, the satisfaction currency.
Yeah.
And then they say, or your money, back. Is that okay? Yeah. They're just like Wheelie. I understand.
Every third one.
Yeah.
Then again, it took Hot Rod like to steer it into.
Okay, why are they all falling out of the shuttle? Like, really?
I don't know. I never.
Like, why did they just fall out? Like, they weren't near any ejector pods. They weren't even near a window, as far as I can tell. They just, the ship's flying by, and then they just fall off of it as if they were clinging to the outside.
Maybe they knew.
Like, maybe they figured it was going to crash into the back of his, into his,
the back of the head. The inside of the skull. Whatever.
Yeah. Fuck. I was gonna school you with the actual medical term for the
Mr. Medical School order.
Medulla. No, occipital. It's the occipital bone. Okay.
The movie's over now, so it's like
shit. Is it over? Oh, the credits are rolling. Took me the occipital bone. Dang, if I didn't have to stop and think, I gotta hit him up all cool, like I know my shit.
Yeah.
So they probably decided to bail.
Alright, so this is the
beginning. So Galvatron, Hot Rod winds up alone.
That was a cool reveal, though, with, like, you see the Matrix glowing in the background.
The Matrix. And then and then with just the eyes.
Yeah.
And even, like, the score, the Vince DiCola score, not just the original songs that are on the soundtrack, but even the music that he does is really good, because there's a part where he's fighting Galvatron in a minute.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, a lot of heavy
keyboard. Very organ-ish.
Yeah. Like, I don't know where it is specifically. I probably will if I hear it. It's about
to be right.
And the way when he shoots right here, the way the laser kind of crackles.
Yeah, right there. That's where it is.
Yeah. But when he's shooting him, the way the crackling laser has like a zigzaggy vibe before it straightens out, I thought that looked cool.
It's just the force of what it is.
Yeah, I don't know why. It looked neat. And this is another GIF right here. Shoot to the left. Shoot. Yeah. I guess he's got one eye, yeah. And where'd they come from? They were in the Junkion thing? Sure. I guess they bailed out, and then now they're flying around doing their thing.
They're looking for Snarl. Took them a while to get there.
Oh, yeah. And this, I hate to say it, this took me a few years to get. When he says, me, Grimlock, kick butt. I didn't get right away. They were literally kicking him butt. And shooting missiles and shit in his butt.
How do you feel about that?
How do I, that I took me so long to get it? No. Or that they went for a cheap joke?
Both.
There's no long shot to show that was his butt. You know, as a little kid, it might go over his head. I don't feel guilty that I didn't get it right away.
But the cheap joke.
I think I was like a teenager when I got it and I laughed. I was like, oh, it's his butt. Yeah, that's fine because it was subtle.
Well, as far as subtle goes in this,
this movie's very subtle. Yeah.
It's about robots, right?
It's about giant robots who eat other planets. It's subtle. It's a thinker. It's, the metaphor is there.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. I don't know where the water... Coolant. There you go.
Yeah, coolant. We'll say coolant. There you
go. Yeah, I like that. So now Daniel gets separated from the first Hot Rod, now Daniel. It's hard to stay together. Like a first rule. So Daniel winds up... That's right. Duh. Can't believe I almost forgot where he winds up. Now I want to talk about this scene in a second. I don't know if it jumps. Okay, right here. It cuts away.
Yeah.
But how do these guys wind? I mean, he eats a planet inhabited by these people.
Right.
Is there some filter?
That was a cool shot of them melting. By the way,
slowly. Yeah. One guy who sort of accepted his faith and is dead. The other guy kicking and screaming. But like, how does he separate? You know, is that how his liver functions? Does it, like, separate the teeny-weeny little bitty, you know, robots or whatever? So Spike's hanging there. He needs Daniel to use his exosuit to blow the lid down. An exosuit much like the one Spike is wearing, which I would assume has built-in elbow guns. Elbow guns. I'm going to say that again because that did not look...
comfortable.
For it didn't look tactical to be trying to shoot out of your elbow joints.
Unless you're like up like.
Yeah, like I'm gonna blast you. You can't see what I'm doing, but it does not look comfortable. It does not look cool. I don't know why Spike didn't just blow them away. Apparently, if you have guns mounted to you, a la Hot Rod, nobody's gonna find out. As long as they look like exhaust pipes. So I'm assuming that Unicron wouldn't disable the elbow cannons. On why didn't he just blow the lid down himself and save the next 15 guys ahead of him? Even
I had a good answer for you when you asked me that like a few weeks ago. I can't remember what I said on that.
But, yeah,
but I thought it was a plausible answer.
He's shooting with his arm and he keeps missing. He's like, "Fuck this! I'm gonna turn the cannon," and then he hits him almost. But see, like those are some direct shots. Galvatron should be dead if we were going by the rules of an hour ago.
I love the fact that he tried to blind him with his headlights.
Oh, is that what he was doing?
Yeah.
I just thought he couldn't see where he was going. But I love that.
Maybe you're right. I don't know.
I love that. But yeah, the shot of the light, the shadows shifting as he's getting closer. The animation here was just really good. And then he rams him as a car, and then he's wrestling with the car.
Oh, here's one more thing Ultra Magnus fails to do anything.
Not get your entire ship destroyed?
Yeah.
That it was a loner, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not even your fucking ship.
You know, I can picture like them like deciding like who goes to what ship, and I can see like Hot Rod, "Hey, Ultra Magnus, why don't you go with the junkies?" Yeah.
Oh yeah, Ultra Magnus, which one are you taking? I'm gonna take this one. Got it. I'll be over here. In fact, every other Autobot, come over here. And the Junkions are like, "I think something's going on." "No, he's a great guy. Y'all just stick with him. You'll be fine."
"We just went back together. Surely he's okay."
Oh, and I guess this goes to the whole molecular manipulation of growing bigger, because apparently when you become leader, you physically grow in size. The Matrix is like a mushroom to Mario. And apparently it's like a star, too, because Galvatron was just blasting in his chest and he didn't even flinch.
Mm-hmm.
So the Matrix is like a mushroom star, if you will. Don't really look at me like that. That was a solid metaphor. What are you talking about? And it makes you really strong too, because you can hurl guys
through solid
not
metal.
Just through a wall, but so his momentum, like he's still going.
Right.
Like, damn.
And he's
finally. You know what? The secret to opening the Matrix is the finger grips.
Yeah.
Anybody, I could open that fucking bitch if you just put your fingers in the notches. That's what they're
so
there
the
for.
The chosen one just had to know. Hey, there's.
That's what makes you the one.
There's four holes on each side. And
You've got the touch. Yeah. Touch the inside of the finger grips. That's the key to it. Yeah. And it'll just make random shit blow up.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Matrix does.
Yeah.
It just makes shit blow up.
Oh, there goes his video monitor.
I guess. Those old school square monitors. Unicron doesn't have flat screens yet.
Right.
Doesn't have that new curved monitor. In fact, these are those old school that curve the other way.
Right. Yeah.
Grappling hooks. The 80s really love electronic grappling hooks. I don't know what every Ninja Turtles had grappling hooks. Uh-huh. Or, you know. They were weird. That was a decade of the grappling hook robot arm. Oh, Jazz lives, right? There's a few more. Cliff Jumper,
yeah, this
Bumblebee.
Isn't Michael Bay. This is, yeah.
Yeah, no, the black guy lives in this one. Blaster included.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Was Trailblazer a black guy? I tried to say.
I never heard him talk. I can tell you.
Really?
I'm sure he talked before, but I just.
He had kind of a. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because he was just solid black.
What'd you think of Rodimus, or Hot Rod going to Rodimus, and now he's in this modified RV?
Yeah, truck. I thought it was like.
Lame.
It was trying to be Optimus.
Yeah.
He needs a truck bed. But he's got to be a Hot Rod too. And
it was too on the nose of we need a new replacement for Optimus.
Yeah, or that the leader has to be a bigger truck. He couldn't just be a straight up vehicle.
Yeah.
And I guess they fly off. Just look at them floating off into space. Now they're gonna be like,
just literally taking the animation still on this moving it.
Yeah, there's some guys off to the side like just sliding his thumb off. And then he's like, "Destroy my destiny." I just like that line.
And that was Orson Welles' last line.
As he was dead. No, that was me. That was actually me talking. I know it sounded seamless, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
It sounded
just
like it. No, I did not turn the volume up on the TV.
Yeah, okay.
No, that was actually me. And this is the end of the Cybertronian Wars. I guess, right? Because every other single Decepticon died in that battle. Is that why this is the end?
Well, until we see what happens.
Because Galvatron died, but why would they just assume this was the end? They've just landed. They don't know what happened. They don't know where. But why is he assuming?
He's a cocky son of a bitch.
Yeah, he's like, "I've been a leader for an hour. That's it. War's over. I did it all myself. War's over. Now
fuck you, Ultra Magnus."
Yeah. And then the orbiting head, which again comes back later.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the head shrinks in space too, because when they find it in Five Phases of Darkness, like, they have to duck their head to crawl underneath the eye hole. But yeah, there you go. That ended it.
Yeah.
That was Transformers the movie. That was our first commentary too.
Well, we made it through.
Yeah, wow. We did. I think that went pretty well. I don't think that was a lot.
It was
of
fun for us. I don't know if any listeners are gonna like it.
But no, but I mean, but I was like worried about like maybe I would get too much in that, and I'd find myself just watching the movie, you know, right, and yeah. I'd forget to like talk or something because you know I've listened to commentary sometimes where they don't have a lot to say and they'll be like 2-3 minutes where they're just you can tell they're just watching the movie.
Yeah,
not even talking. Frank Welker, there you go. Soundwave, Megatron, Rumble, Frenzy, Wheelie, Junkion, Mr. Frank Welker.
Yep.
Mr. Peter Cullen.
That's why I go back to watch Transformers Prime because they brought back Frank Welker and Peter Cullen to do Optimus and Megatron.
Yeah.
So,
I thought Hugo Weaving has a cool voice, but
it's not Megatron.
It's not Megatron.
Get Frank Welker.
Get Frank. Yeah. Don't. I mean, if you're gonna get Peter Cullen to appease the fans, why are you not gonna get Frank Welker?
Yeah,
if they had gotten like some random celebrity to do Optimus, and then they got Hugo Weaving, I'd be like, whatever, they're just getting celebrity voices. But if you're gonna stay true, don't half-ass it, full-ass it, and get both of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bae.
Hey, what does NRG stand for? I'm listening to that song, "Instruments of Destruct" by NRG. What does that stand for? Because I'm scared to make a suggestion. I don't want to be politically incorrect. Hey, look at this soundtrack. Really cool soundtrack there. Spectre General.
That was interesting. I just found this out not too long ago, but Spectre General, there's a couple of songs they did. Their actual band name was Kick Axe. And when they were releasing the songs, they thought that that was too, like, violent sounding, so they changed it to Spectre General. And they didn't even tell the band that. They just, like, did it.
Wait, the filmmakers changed the name?
Well, whoever released the soundtrack, yeah.
Just a Spectre General? What the fuck is Spectre General? Kick Axe?
Yeah.
How is that even... That's not even... Whatever. All right.
That's your fun fact of the day.
Well, I don't know. I'll always love this movie. A lot of it is, you know, nostalgia goggles. I grew up with this movie. I think it holds up. I think the animation holds up.
Yeah.
You know, I miss the old school hand-drawn animation, and this was, you know, really well done. I don't know what companies did it. I don't know, you know. I can't attest any of that.
Sunbow did this one. Or is Toei Animation released by Sunbow?
Yeah, no, I would know that stuff.
You just know it was really good animation, and that's what matters.
Yeah, or at least compared to the cartoon. It was, like, clearly a step up from cartoon. Hell, you know. Yeah.
Well, it took them 2 years to make it.
Yeah, so from that point of view, you know, I'd watched all the cartoons as a kid, and it was, you know, you look at that animation, and it's, you know, the animation itself.
Well, you had a weekly episode. You had to bust out those episodes a lot quicker. You didn't have the time to...
But I don't know. I remember thinking as a kid, like, this can't be... Or maybe I'm completely wrong, but it couldn't be that hard to draw. It was all straight-lined, and...
Every once in a while, they'd bust out a really good animated episode, but for the most part, it was all, like, just quickly drawn.
Like none of the robots, there was no emotion to their faces. You didn't really need to worry about syncing up mouth lines for a lot of them who didn't have mouths. I always thought that that was, like, a way to, like, hey, this is really easy to animate.
Yeah, I remember season 3, with the exception of a few episodes here and there, for the most part, had some really cheaper animation quality, but season 1 and 2... I can point out a few episodes that have some really good animation, you can find them all. You can get they actually have like the box set now of
they're on Netflix, aren't they?
Yes,
Transformers are. Yeah, I think they're in my queue. They've been sitting in my queue for like 2 years. Like one day I'm gonna sit down and watch some Transformers.
The Transformers, Beast Wars, and Prime are all on.
I've gone back to watch both of the other because they're fairly short, like 3 seasons apiece. The Beast Wars and the Prime. So they're
actually they're all 3 seasons.
Transformers only 3 seasons,
but
how many episodes in a season? Back in the '80s, you
total 98 episodes.
Yeah, whereas like Beast Wars is like 650. Yeah, it's 52. Something. Yeah, now it's kind of standard to have like 22-ish episodes to a season.
Yeah, 13.
For like network either shows.
Like a shorter season is 13 episodes, a longer is 26 episodes.
Yeah, so. Unless you're BBC and you got like 3.
Yeah,
but anyway, yeah, that was Hasbro.
still knocking out new Transformers. So
yeah, when you think about it, what is this movie, 86? It's almost 30 years old.
This year is their 30th anniversary
of Transformers,
right?
But this movie alone is coming up,
right?
You know, with, you know, really soon, years. 30 years. Yeah, there you go. What year does that say? I don't speak Greek or Roman numerals, but I say Greek. Roman numerals, they're Greek to me. Yeah. But damn, this movie's like 30 years old when you think about it.
30 it's years old. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, it makes me feel old. Hopefully you feel old too, your listeners. Unless you just discovered this movie yesterday.
And then welcome to the
In which case, I'm sorry for ruining it for you. But yeah, no, great movie. I always love it. Looking back, it's a bit kind of on the nose that it was kind of invented just to introduce new toys.
Yeah.
Much like the G.I. Joe movie was. With,
I mean, they literally killed off characters.
Yeah, to make way for new toys, which is not conducive to good storytelling. Not that I don't like the story.
Right.
But, yeah, would I preferred a movie with Optimus as the lead and all those characters that I knew and love as the lead characters? Yeah, I would have preferred that.
Well, apparently everybody else did because after this movie came out, Hasbro got so many complaints from parents because their kids were crying that Optimus died. They actually had to bring back Optimus.
The return of Optimus Prime. Yeah.
Which they actually billed that on VHS as a separate part two. It was Transformers movie part two.
Return. Well, that had some bad animation. But yeah, if you haven't seen The Return of Optimus Prime, it also goes under another name, The Rude Awakening.
Dark Awakening.
It's The Rude Awakening of Optimus Prime.
Really want to.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's called The Rude Awakening.
Oh, that one. Oh, okay. You're talking about that one. Oh, okay, all
right. Yeah, that one.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking of the real one. You're talking about something.
No, that is a real one, as far as I'm concerned.
That's the official canon.
The Rude Awakening of Optimus Prime on YouTube. It's like 8 minutes long or something like that.
Do yourself a favor.
Watch that. Yourself a favor and watch that one. Yeah. Well, watch the actual... The Return of Optimus Prime. I think it's called... I think the title in the beginning of the episode. It's a two-parter.
Right.
Where they find the space spores... Which make you all red, glow really red, and it's like the fucking virus from 28 Days Later.
Mm.
It just makes you angry and just want to start punching people, and it's just like a hate virus.
Ah, Peppa, you want to be a Peppa too?
I forgot all about that line. I have that on VHS somewhere recorded. I think I rented a VHS and dubbed it, and that's what I've been living off of for like 20 years. But I'm a Peppa, yeah. Yeah, and then there's like some virus and it starts infecting Transformer and Autobot alike, and they, a ragtag group of survivors, have no choice but to try and
resurrect the one guy
who can save them, Optimus, which he does, and yeah, he saves the day because that's what Optimus does.
Yeah, there's an episode before that. It's called Dark Awakening. That kind of, you don't need to watch it to watch Return of Optimus Prime, but it kind of sets up like what
happens. I think I would need to because I remember the Return of Optimus Prime. They find him in a shuttle, kind of like in the beginning of Alien.
Yeah.
Like there's a pilot there, and it's like this derelict... He's in a derelict ship flying it. And I'm like, I thought he fucking just turned gray and died on an operating table.
Yeah.
Why is he now piloting a shuttle?
Dark Awakening explains.
Yeah, I assume there was some storytelling in between that I wasn't privy to, but...
Because Dark Awakening happens, like, fairly early in the third season, and then it cuts to the very end of the season, which is the...
Return. So did they bring him back to life in this Dark Awakening, and he died again?
Pretty much.
Or did they just get his corpse and put it in, like Springer is trying to fake his death because he's a chump. So he's like, yeah, I need a body. I'm going to put it in the car. And he swapped dental records with Optimus so they'll think that when they find his body.
No, I'm not going to say anything to give anything away.
So, okay, yeah, because you know what? I don't even know. And maybe one day I'm gonna check this Dark Awakening out. Yeah. But I don't even want to know.
So watch Dark Awakening, Return of Optimus Prime, and then Rude Awakening.
And then Rude Awakening of Optimus Prime. And you know what? Watching, sitting through all those other stuff, it's worth it just to get to the Rude Awakening of Optimus Prime. And then watch Shockwave's Bad Day or something like that. And then Cobra Commander's Turkey Dinner. A fucking turkey dinner! And there's one more. It's called, like, Heavy Metal.
Yeah.
And that's the one
where... Because it was all done by the same guy.
Yeah, like DJ Smoove.
Yeah.
Like S-M-O-O-V or Dr. Smoove or something. I don't know.
You may already know who we're talking about if we say
that. You probably do. They're pretty funny.
Yeah.
And whoever voices those does some pretty good impersonations of Peter Cullen and the rest of the crew.
Especially smart-ass versions of them.
Yeah. I quoted a few of their lines throughout this entire... Yeah.
Yeah.
In the movie... Optimus doesn't say, "Blaster, aw shit, what's up, you motherfucker?" He does not say that. Not even in the director's cut. But okay, yeah, I guess we'll wrap this up.
Yep.
That was fun.
Yeah, man. I hope we
do it again. Yeah.
Thanks for being the initiative on this.
Yeah. Okay, alright. I guess that's about it.
Alright, thanks for tuning in. And of course, you know where to catch us on facebook.com/popculturerewind. Twitter @PopCultureRWND, And you can also just do a search first on iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app. So until next time, this is Travis. I'm with Xavier. And always, pop your culture.
Hot Rod, the shuttle's coming. Let's watch it land.
Talk about dull, Daniel.
Hurry, we are on this.
Sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered, there's nowhere to turn. Wonder how you keep going.
If you're gonna ride, Dano, ride in style.
In the Jesus universe, the fire in your heart is growing.
Hey, let's stop here.
Why settle for a peak, Daniel, when you can see everything from Lookout Mountain?
A little to the left, a little bit more.
Heaven only knows what you might find. Dad, yeah, I believe you can.
Turbo rubbing, young punk. I'll straighten you out yet.
The power is out at your command. Dad, yeah, and keep on.
What?
You can win if you dare.
Decepticons!
What's that darn fool doing?
Not bad for an old-timer.
Old-timer? That's something you'll never be if you don't get back to the city.
Save it, Cup! Let's burn rubber!